Well, as we look this morning at these scriptures, I want to ask you the question, where's your focus? And this became real for me as I was walking the other day. Like I wondered, because I found something in the street, and I wonder if you've ever found in the street money in the gutter. Ever walked along? I see some of you going, yeah. And most people have found something in the gutter that's of value at some point, and you know, you feel blessed and you pick it up. If it's a wallet, you try to contact the owner. I think the most I've ever found on the sidewalk was we were in Hawaii and on our way to catch the boat from Pearl Harbor out to the Arizona Memorial, and I found about $35 folded up and laying on the ground. But usually what we find is a bunch of loose change. On Monday, Shelly and I went for a walk. We're trying to be healthier and better, so we're trying to walk a lot. We went on a walk, and as I got out of the car, Shelly said, "Is that money in the street?" And sure enough, there was a bunch of change laying there. We picked it up, and it was about 82 cents. We gathered it. I stuck it in my pocket, you know, rejoicing at how fortunate we were and how our fortune had grown by 82 cents, and didn't give it a second thought. In fact, I think the change is still in the pocket of the pants I was wearing on Monday, laying in a heap in the floor in the corner of my bedroom because I didn't put them in the laundry like I was supposed to. But a couple of weeks earlier, I had a different experience. And I think it's more common of the experience. As I was walking on my own, I found a dime in the gutter. As I picked it up, I did what most people do, the most common response to finding something in the street like this. I started to walk down the street looking like this. Don't tell me you've never done that. If there's a dime, there's got to be a quarter. If there's a quarter, there's got to be a dollar. There's got to be more down there, right? And so you're looking for the blessing of the loose change that somebody else has lost. It was only a dime, but it had grabbed my attention and stolen my focus. It was a beautiful day. That's why I was walking. It was slightly overcast. Birds were singing overhead. The leaves, what leaves there are on some of the trees here in town, were starting to change some colors. I mean, I remember being back in East Tennessee, and the colors there this time of year, it would be magnificent. I've been praying for people and thinking about stuff in the church, but then I found that dime, and my focus changed. Luckily, a few moments later, I had an epiphany. Can you move the next slide there, Merle? Oh, well, not the one that happens on January 6th, which is the wise men. Epiphany is actually what we celebrate. That's the name of the day when the wise men found Jesus, the gospel to the Gentiles. But I had an epiphany of like, you know, the one that was like, oh my gosh, why am I looking at the ground? I wondered what I was doing looking down, and my attention was on the wrong thing. My focus was wrong. And in a blink of an eye, my focus had shifted from God to me. I knew I had to share the story, and the more I thought about it, the more two scriptures came to my mind. The first one was Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I want to ask you, why is it we focus on the ground when we walk? It's not because our steps are uncertain. We hike in the woods, and when I hike in the woods, unless I'm climbing a hill, I'm looking out at the countryside. I'm looking ahead of myself. I'm not constantly looking at my feet, unless I'm hiking up a hill where I need to see where the next step is because I know that the ground might go away underneath my step. So why is it that we walk along looking at the gutter? It's greed. We want to be blessed. We want to find that change, enough to do something fun, not the 82 cents or the nickel or the penny that we usually find. We hope for that over $35 find so we can have a free lunch. But when we focus on the gutter, our mind thinks about the gutter. We see the trash. We start becoming judgmental. My gutter doesn't look like this. We get depressed because our mind is focused on the trash in the street. Plus, looking down will cause your neck to kind of get sore and stiff and make you keep looking down. Your shoulders start to slump. Your back bends. You're being brought down physically into the gutter. And when we're looking in the gutter, we're looking in the wrong places. We miss the beauty of God's creation. If you're looking for help, look to God. Look up. Don't look down. I lift my eyes to the hills. I look up. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Friends, if you need help this morning, don't look in the gutter for some loose change. Look up. Look to the one who can truly help you. Focus on God who lives above the gutter of life. Look to the God of gods, the creator of all things, the one true God who loved you so much that he did what we couldn't do. He gave us new life, forgiveness of our sins, a place to be with him in his presence now and for eternity. That God will lift you up from the gutter. The second scripture that came to mind that day was Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Where's your treasure? In Matthew 6:19, Jesus mentions three things that we often treasure. And the first one is things that moths destroy. You might think in today's world of fashion. There's a new job out there, internet influencer. People who stay home and do nothing. They don't contribute by giving to society or building or doing anything other than sharing their opinions of products. And it's all about the clothes and the makeup and what you need to do to look good. And people spend billions to look good. As of April 26, 2021, the women's apparel market had sold $187.8 billion of clothes. That's in April. That doesn't account for the rest of the year. It doesn't account for men. And men, I know that some of you are clothes hogs and shoe hogs. And doesn't account for all the sportswear and the sporting goods and the golf balls and the fun stuff that we spend money on. I hear a testify that, huh? Yeah, thank you. This is just women's apparel, one portion of the fashion market. Don't invest in stuff that's going to be eaten away by moths, that's not going to be in style a year from now. Jesus mentions, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. The Greek word translated destroy is brosis, which literally means to eat away. Like moths eating clothing or mice eating grain in the silos, men, we especially are drawn to shiny things. So Jesus reminds us that those shiny things rust and tarnish and fade away. They get eaten up by the elements. And in the end, our money doesn't last. We spend so much time investing and trying to save those dimes. I once heard of a homemaker back in the days when homemaker was a deal, and she always saved her dimes, and every year she would trade in all of her dimes for dollars, and she would buy the Thanksgiving meal with the dimes that she had collected over the course of a year. Not a bad idea, but dimes can become worthless. Here's a picture of a dime. This dime is actually, if you notice, the way that it's minted here and that shelf on the side, this is a rare coin. It's worth a lot of money in the right condition. But what do you see in this dime, especially right here? Rust. It's been beaten up. This minted irregular coin, worth much more than a dime, is now worth a dime because of what has happened to it. We strive for accomplishments, men. That touchdown, yeah, I broke my knee and I'll never walk again. Or if I walk, I'll walk with a limp. But I made the winning touchdown. I accomplished something. Was it worth it 10 years from now when you wheel up in a wheelchair to see your kids? When you can't stand up and hug your wife? Not a great trade. Heavyweight champ. I'm the heavyweight champ of the world. I've got the belt right here. Of course, I can't talk, and I shake when I walk, and I trip a lot because of all the head trauma that I've experienced to win that belt. Was it worth it? Don't lay up treasure for yourself on earth where rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. This is the third thing that Jesus points to, which covers just about everything else that's not getting eaten up. Someone else might take from you. In 2019, retailers lost $62 billion to theft. I wonder what that's like in 2021, where now we're hearing constantly on the news of how people are running into stores and stores owners are saying, leave them alone if it's less than $1,000, and they're carrying out goods by the armfuls. In 2019, burglary was down to a mere $2.9 billion. But that doesn't include internet theft or scams. That's just straight burglary. And speaking of other scams, identity theft rose from $1.8 billion in 2019 to $3.3 billion just so far in 2021. This was as of June or July, the last time that they checked out those stats. There's nothing that you have that can't be taken from you, that a thief can't figure out a way to get to. So it begs us to ask the question, what do we treasure? Because you see, our treasure defines us. It reveals what's important to us. It tells us what we hold closest in our heart. Are you focused for searching for change in the gutter? Stop focusing on the change in the gutter. Lift your eyes to the hills, to the Lord who loves you and gave his life for you. God's treasure is you and me. He wants to be in relationship with us. Yes, the God who created this whole world, all the trees and the birds and the people and all the stuff that we want to gather up for ourselves because we think it's so valuable, treasures above all that stuff you and me and wants to be in relationship with us. And he wants us to call him Daddy and know him. Yes, we're in the midst of stewardship. For most, stewardship season is a time to receive a gentle reminder that, yeah, it's time to give to the church. But really, stewardship is much more than giving to the church. It's an opportunity for us to stop and consider where the focus of our heart lies. Are you rushing after extra change? I'm going to cut out Starbucks and give that money to the church. See, that extra change means your focus is on yourself, what you want to do, what you think you can do, making sure that you have enough. It's a common problem. After the Exodus from Egypt, God provided manna for the people to eat. Every day they'd gather a fresh amount because it wouldn't last overnight. God said, don't gather more than you can eat in one day because it's not going to last. And some people gathered a lot and some people gathered a little, but Exodus 16:18 tells us that when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered as much had nothing left over, whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as they can eat and everybody was full. The funny thing about man is that it was the great equalizer. Everyone had enough. You had to trust God to provide it, and you couldn't keep it overnight. You couldn't make it grow and to more. There was only one exception, that it would last to the next day. And that exception was the seventh day, the Sabbath. God said, if you keep it overnight, it's going to get mealy, it's going to get wormy, it's going to get rancid, it's going to get bad. But on the day before the Sabbath, gather twice as much as you need, because on the Sabbath, I'm not going to send any manna. And what you gathered yesterday is going to last you. It's going to stay good. This is the miracle of God's grace. When God says, I'm going to give you enough for 2 days, usually it's, I'm going to give you enough for today, but sometimes he says, I'm going to give you enough for 2 days, you take him up on it. So they had to trust God. And the manna they kept that day lasted for 2 days. 40 years of trusting God, and the people of Israel still struggled to trust God. So we're in good company. We need to ask every day, where's your treasure? Maybe ask, what's my treasure, or who's my treasure? Because it's really about relationships. Most treasured things are the people we love, and a relationship with the God who loves us. Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? Is it focused on getting stuff or being with the people that you love? Where's your focus? Stuff or people? On the gutter, looking down, trying to search for some blessing that you might be lucky enough to find? This morning, let us look up. And let us bring the treasure of our heart and our very selves to God. Let's take advantage of the opportunity that stewardship gives us to remember the God who redeemed us and give ourselves back to that God who loved us. Friends, today, look up and receive God's grace. Let us come to his table. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather together to receive your grace and love once more. Transform and change the elements at the table from common food to spiritual use. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.